Briar Clough, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Kuhn, and we'll have an update from Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. A lot of great farmland changed hands over the weekend with winds of 50 to 60 miles per hour having the dirt moving. Fargo had the peak wind speed of 63 miles per hour. Langdon topped out at 58 miles per hour. The National Weather Service reports 57 mile per hour winds at both Devil's Lake and Fergus Falls. Daytime highs are forecast in the 30s today with cloudy skies. There is snow going on at this hour in portions of western and central South Dakota. Measurable snowfall also possible today in western and central North Dakota. An early season winter storm is possible Thursday and Friday. The track of that storm not yet known, but we should be alert to that possibility by late week.
All eyes on the midterm elections. That includes the futures market. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says markets can make dramatic moves as Election Day approaches.
Markets don't like uncertainty, and there's quite a bit of uncertainty going into this because right now it seems like we're kind of in a toss-up between who could possibly win control of the House and the Senate. So the market is likely you'll start to see a little bit of that. I do think that Monday and Tuesday will be kind of focused on what the election potential could be.
We'll see a busy week for grain markets. U.S. Commodities President Don Rose says we'll start with the release of baseline numbers.
A lot of people aren't looking at this, but we have baseline numbers coming out. That's one that the government gives mainly for budgets, a projection for 10 years. What are they going to use Monday for acres, for demand? That'll be focused. Then we have the elections on Tuesday. We'll see how that influences stuff. More from who takes control, what are we going to have future programs in the works. And then Wednesday we have the supply-demand report.
Rose's traders will be watching yield and export numbers in that supply-demand report.
What's the yield going to be, and do we knock the exports on corn down? And, then after that, I think all focus is going to be on what South America weather in a La Nina year yet, and does that start to change?
The Chinese government has no plans to erase its zero COVID policy anytime soon. There has been speculation that China would soon reopen its economy fully. Soybean prices are lower this morning with the news China is reporting the highest number of new COVID-19 cases in 6 months.
Another major railroad union has approved the labor contract with the Class 1 railroads. With this approval, 7 unions have ratified the contract. However, 2 other unions rejected the deal last month. That means a strike is still a possibility.
To avert a rail strike, Labor Secretary Marty Walsh wants to get all of the players back at the table. Without a deal, Walsh said Congress will likely intervene. Walsh was part of a 20-hour bargaining session in September that resulted in a tentative agreement between the railroads and its union workers.
Meat demand has strengthened as of late. Farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has that story.
Pork, the other white meat, has been gaining popularity since the pandemic. Partners for Production agriculture economist Steve Meyer says the hog market has been remarkably strong this year.
We've had a real run on demand here at the consumer level in the United States, and our calculations show we're up over 5% year-to-date through August. That comes off a record year in 2021. It all started really with the COVID shutdowns, and when people had, they couldn't go to restaurants, they started cooking at home, and we saw retail sales go up, and of course huge demand at the grocery store. We didn't have product in the shelves for a while. We've caught up with all that, but it looks like those new habits of eating at home and those kinds of things have really remained here, even as we've come out of the lockdowns.
Meyer says with prices going up and consumer budgets getting a little smaller, he hopes pork demand will continue to stay strong.
We're monitoring very closely to see if that remains. I don't have very good predictors of that, so I don't have a strong prediction equation for demand. But, all the talk about a recession, that's concerning. Pork usually doesn't do too badly in times of recession. My big concern about demand right now is what inflation does to kind of discretionary funds in the hands of consumers. If they have to spend a lot more money for gasoline and electricity and home heating and all those kinds of things, just what impact does that have on the amount of money they have left over to buy meat? And that's my biggest concern about demand going forward, but it's been outstanding and strength remains today.
Reporting agriculture's business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. American Crystal Sugar Company beet stock broke a new record high this past week at $4,800 per share. Nearly 100 shares were brokered over the past week at that level. Acres and Shares crediting the forecast for a strong beet payment from American Crystal.
China has approved corn imports from Brazil. China typically has turned to the United States and Ukraine for its corn needs, but that's been complicated by the Russia-Ukraine war. China and Brazil signed a protocol for trading corn some 8 years ago, but very little business happened. The two countries started to work on revised rules shortly after Russia invaded Ukraine this spring.
The United Nations Climate Change Conference begins today in Egypt. Food and agriculture will be part of that discussion, with a special day set aside on the agenda on Saturday. Most of the focus will be on food insecurity.
Jody Anderson takes over the reins as the executive director of the South Dakota Beef Industry Council. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has the story.
South Dakota Beef Industry Council welcomed Jody Anderson as their new executive director on November 1st. Anderson says she's excited to work with the people of the South Dakota beef industry again while building on the programming already in place.
Building on the great work that our beef council has been doing under the previous executive director, as well as our board of directors, we've been a very active beef council. We've been involved in a lot of awesome projects, and I think just continuing to build on that track record of success is really what I'd like to be able to see us do in the next few years. I'm just really excited to work on behalf of the producers here that we know produce great cattle and great beef and have that chance to help promote their product to consumers.
Anderson joins the South Dakota Beef Industry Council with 16 years of experience as the South Dakota Cattlemen's Association Executive Director. Anderson says her past experience will be a benefit to her work in this new role, but that there will be a lot to learn.
Great thing about working with a lot of the same people in this role that I've worked with in previous roles. That'll be a really good transition, I think. You know, there's still a lot to learn, even though I've been involved in the industry and industry organizations for a number of years. It's definitely going to be a transition from the more government lobbying type stuff to research and education and promotion, but it's going to be a fun transition to make.
Reporting agriculture's business here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman.
There's been a new development in the right to repair class action lawsuit between farmers and John Deere. Nine farms from across the United States, including Hapka Farms of Minnesota, have consolidated their lawsuits into one case. This lawsuit claims John Deere monopolized the service business through the use of its centralized computer and the connection to their tractors.
Start clean, stay clean. That is the message from Wilbur Ellis Agronomy Manager Kevin Erickson. The use of a pre-emerge herbicide is seen as an important tool against weed resistance.
Even in the late season, I promote getting that pre-emergence on just to help what's in the soil. What I tell growers is, if the weed doesn't come out of the ground, is the easiest one to kill. Because once like a water hemp emerges, it grows so prolific and so quickly that, you know, the labels read 3-inch. Well, 3-inch turns into a pop can to a foot tall, and your post spray just will not take it down.
Erickson, who's based at Salem, South Dakota, expects a more normal year for the supply chain.
A year ago when we sat in our planning meetings, we were looking for product B because A, you couldn't get. We've had a couple meetings this year, and what we're hearing from suppliers is supply will be more normal. There will be some outages, but nothing to the level of 22.
A venture capital fund formed by CHS and Growmark has announced its first investment. Sabanto is a hardware and software company that is developing autonomous capabilities in tractors. Cooperative Ventures was founded a year ago to fund new technologies and innovation startups. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The 2022 marketing year was an all-time record in terms of dollar value. USDA economist Dylan Russell offered a few examples of the grain exports.
Wheat export value was $8.3 billion, up 15%. Corn was up 12%. Soybeans, $33.3 billion, and that's an increase of about 26%.
China was the top buyer of U.S. agriculture commodities, Canada coming in second.
The grain market continued its volatile range-bound action this past week. Progressive Ag Marketing market analyst Brian Strumman says demand remains sluggish.
Sluggish exports, and China added more Brazil corn exporters to their list, and corn is cheaper priced in Brazil, and the roadblocks are being cleaned up as well. So I think that's, again, adding a combination of things to the corn market and just not seeing it move much.
This past week, soybeans were really the right spot.
The fact that China purchased a large amount of soybeans from Brazil and has traders thinking maybe there's some demand's going to spill over here to the U.S. And then the background news continues, too, with the low water levels on the Mississippi and the possibility of a railroad strike. So that news kind of looms in the background as far as the grain markets go.
More than 8 million turkeys died or were euthanized this past year due to avian influenza. Despite that downturn in numbers, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said consumers will be able to have their Thanksgiving turkey on the table.
In terms of people's being able to get a Thanksgiving turkey, they're going to be able to get a Thanksgiving turkey. Now, whether they can get a 20-pound turkey, that may be a challenge based on location, because some of the turkeys that are being raised right now for Thanksgiving may not have the full amount of time to get the 20 pounds.
BASF has completed its acquisition of Cargill's seed production facility in Idaho Falls. With this deal, BASF is expanding its production capacity for Invigor Health canola oil. The seed from these hybrids produce a specialty oil that is more heat stable and higher in oleic content. In the markets, we are in the red this morning. Minneapolis wheat, the Dease contract down 4 3/4 at 9.49 3/4. Chicago wheat down 4 3/4 for December, and hard red winter wheat, same contract, down 3. Dease corn, 2.5 lower, 6.78 1/2. March down 2 1/4. Soybeans for January, 14.59 1/2. That's down 2 3/4 cents. The March contract down by 2 cents. Plenty on the farm calendar as we move into this winter season. Researchers from North Dakota State University Center for the Study of Public Choice and Private Enterprise and NDSU Extension are discussing North Dakota's current economic situation. They'll talk about the state's economy, agriculture, and energy industries. There will be a program tomorrow that will be starting at 9 a.m. Speakers include Brian Parman, David Ripplinger, Tim Petrie, Frayne Olson, all from NDSU Extension. That conference is free and is available over Zoom. Minnesota AgriGrowth has its Ag and Food Summit this week. That'll be held on Thursday. That'll be taking place in downtown Minneapolis. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.